I don't know about you guys, but I am a conceptual thinker. So when I read something or I go to proclaim something or I'm in business, I have to know the concept of what I'm talking about or what I'm doing. So it isn't just a word, but it is a concept. So the word blessed or baruch is actually the picture of a camel that kneels and is being loaded. And the amount of the load is determined by the loader and not the loadee. You get the picture? So the blessing then is that God wants to load you with blessings. Okay? So this whole thing, you know, but the thing is that you cannot be poor in spirit or mourn, be meek, hunger, and thirst for righteousness, be merciful, be a peacemaker, or be prepared to stand for persecution for the name of Christ if you don't have the Holy Spirit guiding you. I was telling somebody in the prayer room that I'm doing some research on this stuff. Honey, could you grab my glass of water there? And would you believe that in all the documentation that I read, not one refers to the Holy Spirit? I don't get it. I just don't get what is going on in this world that even the churches have moved away from this. Well, I'll see if I can do something here. You know I use props, right? You know what this is, right? How is this in a sermon? Well, I'm going to show you. My old weed eater, which I had for a long time, kind of gave up and I'd fired up and run for about 2 seconds and it shut down. 2 seconds, shut down. I took it to the guy that does my work for me. He says, Ike, he says, no use of me fixing this. He says, just buy another one. They're not very expensive. Well, the guy in my shop, my head technician, he says, I got a weed eater and I bought it at Canyon Tire and it is fantastic. So I went and bought this weed eater. Now, I'm left-handed, okay? They claim that the right side of the brain controls the left side of the body. That only means that left-handed people are in the right mind. So I'm left-handed. So I get this gadget, and it's got a trigger here. See that? I push on the trigger, nothing happens. And I'm thinking, this thing doesn't work. But I noticed there's another button there. And when I push on that, oh. But you know how awkward that is with my finger? So it's designed to work this way for right-handed people. The clue is you have to push the button. And if you don't, it doesn't work. You can push that trigger all you want. How many times do you go to do something and you didn't push the Holy Spirit button? You just bypass it and now all that is coming is fleshly words or fleshly deeds. And as Chris prayed over me, remember he asked for the anointing? Because it's the anointing that's going to reach you today, and that's how your life is going to change. It's not just nice words and nice sermons, you know. Because the heart of the matter is a matter of the heart. You get that? It's a matter of the heart. God is not, he says, I'm not interested in sacrifices. I'm interested in your heart. And if anything today, he's interested in your heart. So how do we get to having a clean heart? Well, there's only one way to get a clean heart. And I'm trying to, where's my tablet, honey? You see it? I got this picture. Good thing I got my wife here, eh? So you can't see this picture. Maybe you can. But it's a picture of a young lady. Okay? Now, she used to be in our church, and at the top is her email address. Jenny in love with Jesus. Now, how do you like that? She used to be in our church. She's a girl from Germany. And when she used to be in a prayer room with us, that whole prayer room was alive, man. Oh, man. Her and I can't remember the other girls. And remember Kathy? You know, the other girl was with her. Anyway, but the two of them used to be in there. Oh, we prayed. I just love that girl. And when she left, you know, but I'm still on with her email. And she sends me stuff. And I got this yesterday. And I see this picture. And I know this girl. And I'm thinking, there's a gal with a pure heart. Last year, my youngest grandson on my oldest son's grandchildren, he's got three sons, and this is his youngest one, he's 21, and he goes to a different church, and he's involved with the church. Actually, he's now at Glad Tidings. He's involved there. He just had apprenticeship there for a pastoral care, so he wants to be a preacher. He wants to follow his opa in his footsteps. So he comes to my office on Mondays, about 10 o'clock, and the two of us are into teaching on the Holy Spirit, because the other church where he was at, they don't teach on the Holy Spirit. And he wants, Opa, I want to get and move in the Spirit like you do. Well, that's a nice compliment. So several weeks, he and I would talk about, I'd teach him stuff in the Holy Spirit. And I have a U-shaped desk formation, and this side's a table, and there's a chair there, and he sits across from me, and he says to me, Opa, I got to tell you this. I said, you know, I was led the other day to do such and such. I said, beg your pardon? Give me that again. He said, well, I was led to do, so, you know. And I said, I want you to just listen to what you just said. And all of a sudden, he starts to cry. He starts to cry, just like I'm doing. He got it. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit ministered to him, and he got it. And it was a life-changing experience for him. And that's what we need, to turn your crank to get you back in action to do what God has called you to do. Not what you're comfortable with. But if God has laid it on your heart to speak to somebody and lead someone to the Lord, you know, you got to obey God. And like the word we just had, he will equip you to do that. And you're saying, oh, I don't know what to say. What do you mean you don't know what to say? You got the Holy Spirit in your life. Just begin to talk and he'll lead you. Amen? I died about 3 years ago. I died. My heart stopped. I was in the hospital. They had just done a knee replacement. And I'm in recovery. And the nurse is sitting right beside me. And there's another nurse. And I think she was doing something with my intravenous. And I said to the nurse beside me, I said, something's going on. She said, what's happening? I said, my blood sugar feels like it just went to the floor. And she had all the equipment there. She quickly took my blood sugar. She said, no, it's perfect. 7.3. And I said to her, don't go away. I'm going to be checking out of here within seconds. Now, a lot of people can't do that because they don't have peace with God. So that's where I'm at. And I left and I was gone for 2 minutes. They put out a blue coat in the hospital and 30 emergency people showed up in my room and brought me back. So when I got back, first thing I said, Lord, what's going on? You know, the people ask me, what did you see? I usually tell them, well, there's a big neon sign that said no vacancy, you know. But that's not true, okay? Because the first thing I said, Lord, what's going on? And now he doesn't speak to me in an audible voice, but I got it. You're just like my grandson. All of a sudden he got it. Well, that's how God speaks to me. And it may take me, sometimes he gives me a sermon. I preach it for at least 3 or 4 days, 4 hours a day or something. You know, like this sermon I've preached today, I've probably gone over, I don't know how many times. I can't sleep at night because I'm in the spirit and I want to do what he wants me to do. Anyway, so God says to me, I'm not done with you yet. Oh. Okay, what is it you want me to do? He said, number one, you got another grandson in Phoenix, Arizona, and he's going to get married, and you're doing the wedding. That was a year later. I did the wedding. And, you know, when you have that, when God tells you that, you know that things are perfect. Whatever I do, and I seek God, we had such a wonderful wedding, the best, nicest wedding I've ever been to. And both my grandson and his wife are in love with Jesus. And that makes all the difference in the world. And I said, okay, Lord, what else have you got? And he said, you're the chaplain of the Blue Knights. Your work at the Blue Knights is not done. So I have a spot there. I have a place there. And every meeting that we have, there'll be one next Sunday, and I won't be here for the first major part of the meeting because our meeting starts at 9:30 in the morning, actually. It's a breakfast meeting. But I have a spot there, and I have an opportunity to be and to do what God wants me to do, and it isn't my idea. It's his calling. He says, I've got this spot for you. You guys are familiar, some of you are familiar with the Ride to Live. Well, all these hundreds of motorcycles come and they raise funds for prostate cancer research. Well, I'm their chaplain also. So here I've got all the people, worldly people who don't know God, and I'm doing the biker blessing. Can I stand up there and talk to them about Baruch and the Hebrew meaning of it? I don't think so. One day, when we were doing a biker blessing, the start of the ride was at the Harley-Davidson dealership. There were motorcycles on all the streets gathered, and there was hundreds of people gathered around. And now I'm introduced as the chaplain, and I'm going to do the biker blessing. And I've asked God, how can I minister to this many people? And they pay no attention to what's going on in the microphone, half of them anyway. And the Lord showed me. So I got on the microphone, and I speak loud when I talk to all these people. I said, we're doing this biker blessing, and it's for prostate cancer research. And I'll almost bet that somewhere in your family or your friends, somebody has been affected by prostate cancer. I want to remember them today. Could you remove your helmets and your hands and your hats? Or we're going to have a moment of silence. And to remember those who you know and who you love have died from prostate cancer. You know what happens? I have their attention. Everybody's quiet. You want to see it. It's unbelievable. Now when I do my blessing, everybody gets to hear it. Now the world gets to hear what God has to say. And so wherever you are, whatever you do, there's always a calling for you, and to be aware to touch the button. Call on the Holy Spirit to show you, what am I doing here today? So you mentioned about traffic, didn't you? Yeah. Man, that can be a real pain sometimes. Kind of sit in traffic and you're looking around, you know. But, you know, God has a purpose for everything. Maybe he has it in mind for you to pray for the person who was just in that accident as you're going by. There's always a purpose. Now I don't know where I'm going. Okay. You know, it'd be pretty hypocritical if I didn't push the button. That's why Chris prayed for me. You should have heard the people in the prayer room this morning. I knew something was going to happen here this morning, because you know the prayers that were going up were just from God. You know, I got something here somewhere. Hold on one sec. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me. Yeah. I got one more page here. I got another testimony I wanted to give you. Okay. I was driving my car from Souk, and I needed to go into somebody's driveway because I had some business there for my business, and I'm pulling in the driveway, and all of a sudden this truck is coming and going to T-bone me. I knew it was game over, and I said, okay, Lord. I took my hands off the wheel. I had it cranked all the way to the left, and I sat there, and I just closed my eyes because, you know, and all of a sudden, my vehicle is standing still, and I'm not in heaven. And so, would you believe that my whole vehicle turned around on the road, was on the opposite side of the road, and just parked alongside the road? There was quite a bit of damage to my car. But the thing is, but the secret is that I have that button pushed on a regular basis. And so when something goes wrong, I can count on God to restore me. Boy, I woke up this morning because, you know, I've been having trouble with my sciatic nerve, and I'm not having any problem at all this morning. Yeah, praise God, okay? So what I'm trying to say is there are so many instances that happen in our lives where we sidestep the Holy Spirit. And you know, OT, where are you? Oh, she's still up here. Oh, yeah, I asked him to stay up there. So OT this morning said about the raising on of hands. What happens is we come from denominational backgrounds where they don't do this. And it's very difficult for us to change. But God can change you. Because it is no secret, right? No secret. God can do what he's done for others. He'll do it for you. Now here's Jesus with arms wide open. He'll pardon you. That is no secret. What God can do, all things are possible, only believe, only believe, only believe, all things are possible, only be. So what is it that you need to believe for today? What is it that you've been struggling with? Close your eyes. Think about this. just think that you've been praying about this for a long time. But I don't know if you're spiritually awake this morning, but God is very much at work here this morning. And he wants to have you believe. The whole secret is to believe and trust God and his Holy Spirit to work in your life, in your situation, and make it happen. Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only. We're going to sing it once more. Could you stand? And just...